is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hi. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Michael Weatherly's here tonight. Pauly Perrette is here tonight from NCIS, which airs at 8 p.m. on CBS. We had a lot of people waiting out front to actually... You know, Drew, you want to know why we're the world's worst radio host?
Why's that?
Because I pulled up the driveway
and asked the Spluzers who's on the
saw
show.
The Spluzer. Spluzer's a hybrid. Part spaz, part loser. These are the guys who wait with the autographs, who sell it on eBay. But I pulled up and I saw the Spluzer and I said, "What's up?" And they're like, I knew someone was on the show because the Spluzers were out there. And I said, "Who's on the show tonight?" And they said, "The NCIS guys are on." And I went, "The telephone guys?" And I went, "No, okay, I know what you're talking about." And I pulled up, and as I was pulling away, the guy yelled, "Drew asked the same thing." And I thought, that is horrible hosting that we have to ask this.
I added one thing. I said, "Oh, Jenny McCarthy rescheduled for tonight? Is that you guys are here?"
Yeah. Go out there and see if they can tell us who's on Wednesday. It's not on the schedule. All right. So, but we're both here exceptionally early. I was, at least. Drew?
Yes, except, in fact, you drove them behind me. I was like,
so
what?
How long were they here then?
Oh, man, they got to get there early.
More than
for
exceptionally
you guys.
They
got
to intercept. They got to make sure you don't get slipping ahead
they
of
were,
them.
They were interceptionally.
Yeah. Early. So they're there by 9:20.
I always like to hit one of them. Just clip one of them a little bit.
Oh, and they probably say thank you.
Yeah, no, it's just you set the precedent. You set it early.
Yeah.
And then everyone
knows.
You
sell the photo on eBay.
Yeah, you set the tone. I was talking to some folks today watching football over at Kimmel's house about the NCIS and the crime scene
PSI
stuff.
Phenomenon.
Like it's two couple of shows have sort of taken over half of waking
television.
Programming on network. It's incredible.
Yeah, but ours is funny.
Yeah. That other stuff
you
isn't
may not know
funny.
That, but that's the difference.
Yeah, and yours actually. Do all the other ones air at 9 or they air at 8?
Oh no.
Oh, no,
I don't know. We don't know when anyone airs except us. We're eight. Tuesday nights.
You know, everyone else, they're the Beatles and the Who and the Stones. It's crap. We're the Monkees, man.
We're the Monkees.
And you know what?
Hey.
Daydream Believer. And we're taking that last train to Clarksville. And we're having a good time
doing
it.
I like the fact that you guys have cracked a couple of beers, too, because normally that's reserved for the rock stars who come in here. And I like it. Don't get me wrong. Right. I'm not judging at all.
We don't play our instruments, Adam.
Except these guys aren't going to go off with the rock stars do. They're not going to vomit on us. Not going to throw ass at us.
Right.
We're meeting Rodney at the Chateau Marmont later.
Now you guys seem like more than just co-workers. You seem there's a chemistry between the two.
You are such an observant man.
Yeah, and all I'm saying is if you guys haven't discussed it, I can tell you that
we've known that we're cousins for like our entire lives.
We both have Alabama bloodlines.
Recommending that you have a talk.
Not that that changes anything.
There's an energy in here. There's an energy between the two of you. See?
Stop.
Now there's something there. Did you notice?
Yeah.
It's all relative.
They're making out in the hall. That's what I figured.
Are you dating or anything? Huh? Little something.
Nothing. No, Drew didn't see anything.
She likes boys named Michael.
I
know that.
You can't expect people to work together for 16 hours in Montreal and not get it on eventually. All staying in the same condo complex.
It depends on the people that you're working together in the same complex.
Think about it. More than a condo complex. They're in a sensory deprivation tank. Just the two of them having intense emotional experiences.
Interesting,
right.
Because
now,
the other day we were talking about the fact that Adam and Dr. Drew
living in a sensory deprivation
tank. That's actually not true. We were talking about the fact that the other day, really late, we were wondering if we were actually an experiment.
Oh, that's true.
If we were an experiment put together and all of us in the little pod where we work all day long and we spend all our time together.
In a pod.
Yeah.
We work in a warehouse.
Are you in New York or are you
here.
In
Valencia?
In here?
Valencia.
Talk about layers.
Yeah, but then they don't want to
so
go outside.
Much texture.
See that they removed us and put us on our own little pod.
Not
together.
That Valencia is awful. It's a beautiful place, but it's hot as blazes.
Yeah. Sunny Valencia, as we call it.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of pods, let me get this iPod thing off my mind.
Go, baby.
Okay, tonight and every night this week, we're giving away a brand new iPod Nano.
Nano.
With my kids will kill for.
We're big iPod fans.
Well, these Nanos are crazy. You seen the Nanos?
No, but we are both iPod obsessed.
Okay, but these things are like a credit card. They're 1,000 songs, 25,000 photos. All you have to do is listen for Nine Inch Nails song only as our bumper music. It's the music that plays coming out of commercial into the show.
Is the song called Only or Only Nine Inch Nails? What's it say there?
It says, there it is.
Oh, that's
is that it?
It?
Just read it, baby. Just read it.
Should everybody call? No, now's not the time you call. You call when you hear this as the bumper or lead-in music out of commercial break,
right,
into the show.
Yeah,
you're the first person to get through and say, you got to say iPod Nano to the screener who picks up the phone and you win. You got to be 18 years or older, and that's it.
I would call, but they took my cell phone away.
You got to be Nano. 18 or older.
Yeah. Damn.
That means your boyfriend can't call.
Awesome. Oh, uh-oh. It's on now.
Yeah.
I popped the scab off that sexual wound.
Yeah, and some white stuff.
There's stuff coming.
Out.
Oh, yeah.
That's he thinks he's like 12. Might know what the league is, but.
Let's.
Oops.
Speaking of white stuff pouring out, I had to give a little sperm sample this morning over at the lab.
Did you go in kicking and screaming like last time?
Well,
why do I have to give my sperm sample?
Well, first off, I know...
Are you pregnant?
I know sperm. I'm trying. We're trying to become pregnant.
Here's the harp. Did they make you wait a week before you offered?
Let me just give the ladies a little sperm, little sperm etiquette. I try to keep the chatter down to a dull roar when I'm in on the other side of the paper-thin hollow corridor trying to, meet
produce,
the maker.
Produce.
Yeah.
It's called
and
producing.
Trying to produce. And let me just say this, Michael. I don't know if you're ever going to get into this situation. Maybe you already are. I thought to myself, thank Christ I've taught myself to beat off in the standing up position.
Finally.
Because otherwise I would be plowed on this sofa with this sampler cup wedged in a fat roll trying to catch something. It would be insane, like a retarded person trying to get a butterfly. It would have been horrible. I thought, thank Christ. And that about the only dignity you have is that you're still on your feet.
Yeah.
You're like a beaten fighter, but you never hit the canvas.
Well,
you can say you're still
in my feet. Did you have to wait in line with some of your buddies?
No, well, there are all the other guys you can't establish eye contact with
right.
that are in the waiting room that got dragged in there, too.
Oh, in my production, we had to wait in line. Stand in line.
This is wrong.
Wow. Take your what you've produced and hand it across the hall to the little Asian lady with the microphone.
Okay, now, Dr. Drew, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
And maybe, Adam,
so
you can help me with this, just to understand. Maybe there's a way that you could have your special someone who's also maybe interested in
help
results
you.
Of the sperm
Yeah, but no one seems to do that.
They do that.
Well, why not?
They offer that. They offer it.
But it'd be weird. You're not a
you
man.
You lie down.
Do
schedule.
How about this? You get a 20-minute massage, and then... You get
a happy release.
Yeah. Oh, look, I would be for that, but they don't have that.
You know what? I think this is all, I don't
You've
think
never had
that
to produce.
I'm not a guy, but all I know are my guy friends, and I don't think that, except whenever they're peacocking for other reasons, that it's all that hard.
It's not tough for the ace man, but I got to tell you, let me tell you how bold I am. You know, you're filling out the receptacle cup with the sticker on it that says, time of sperm sample. Let me tell you something. I open my phone. It's like 8:22 in the morning. I wrote 8:25 on there. I knew, make it under that wire. I was like Babe Ruth pointing at the bleachers. Come on, penis. Don't fail
Let's
me
go.
Now. Because I'm writing this with pen, baby.
No
I ain't
going to
scratch
it
out.
Did you make it?
Hell yeah.
Right
so
how
did, it,
spare.
How did it turn out? Do you have a good count there? Is that what we
Oh, yeah.
For?
I was fine.
Did you have to wait before you produced?
There's a couple of beats that were tough. One is I left not used to ejaculating and not, being sober.
Was it
tough.
Was it a rape?
That's what it felt like. It felt like I raped myself.
You raped the
Well, a couple of things. First off, the lady offers you the use of the magazines and the movies, but you're too bold. You have too much profile. Motto for that. Ah, oh, please, I don't need this. But as I said, I might as well take a peek anyway, so you just see what they got in there. That was funny. After I finished, I opened it just to take a curious peek and found something like naturally busty Euro babes, and I was like, oh man, I would have All right, we can't live in the past, but certainly could have made some use of it. I thought you'd have some lame crap that would be no use to me, but this actually has pretty decent selection.
So even when it's as important as that, it was still about the ego.
Well, it's not ego. It's about the...
Even when you're alone in a room, it's still about you're what not the dudes alone. In line are thinking about
no,
you.
No. It's about his experience. Yeah. It was a suboptimal experience.
Well, first off...
I think it's about the dudes in the waiting line.
No. He's thinking like a woman now.
It's
you're,
only
you're missing what he's saying.
You got to, I don't like chicks saying, do you want to use... this
he's
to
saying
help
he
you
missed an
along.
Opportunity to masturbate while looking at something that he would find particularly
yes,
pleasing.
I did. I could have turned because I could
he
have
thought
it into lemonade.
He thought
which
could only
have
be
been
lame.
Celebrated for a good reason.
There'd only be lame magazines there, but there was stuff right in his wheelhouse.
Yeah. And there may have been a scientific advantage to having the good stuff.
Might have produced a little more smart.
Yeah.
More
you never
volume.
Know what.
I'll tell you.
You know, there could have been that little chemical release.
Big picture. Big picture.
The other thing that was funny that movies were in there was like, as I was scrolling down, a Pretty Woman I noticed piled in there, and I thought,
wow.
All right, look, maybe there's some Christian guy who wants to come in here
it's
and beat
about
off
a hooker.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
And then Jerry Maguire, and I thought, all right, now this is, I'm drawing the line. Like, now there's a part of me that wants to hustle out in the nursing station and go, what else goes on in here? Is this also kids' waiting room? Like, what?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah, I mean, it was, look, don't mix the Jerry Maguire with the porn. It's weird. The cabinet was you're
so
using
big.
A valuable porn room in here.
Some Kenny Chesney videos.
Yeah. I had to, the other thing I had to do is pull the sample thing. You know, they tell you to put it, and then you put it in the thing, and then you put it in a sack, and you give it to the, I had to pull the thing out and do more writing on it in front of the nurse, which is just pleasant.
Ew. Where's the vomit?
But I just thought, Drew, you have two boys.
Yeah.
They're, you know, getting in, they're going to be getting into their teens.
Yeah.
You must teach those lads to beat off standing up.
Oh, don't worry.
Don't get into one of those things where it's like, well, the only way they do it is if they wedge their joint between the box spring and the mattress and do a weird grind thing. Because they will have places, workplaces. There will be situations where they need to take care of business, and you just can't lay down on the floor when you're 30,000 feet in the sky.
Yeah, that long flight to
DC 10.
Berlin.
Exactly.
No, you need
but
to
how
have
do you do
skills.
That, for real? Like, what do a dad say to his kid about something like
that? You don't
that?
Say anything. You work with him.
Yes.
What?
No, that was, yes. I remember my
you
father talked to
out.
Me.
Yeah.
My father gave me a talk when I was about 13. He said, Junior, you may have some impulses that...
really?
The natural impulses. We're out on the... I grew up in Connecticut. We're out on the porch, and he said...
Darianne. Can see it.
Wow.
Here's the thing, Junior.
Stanford.
You want to do that, but don't enjoy it.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting, because mine was, if you ever have any impulses, you're going to hell.
Oh, wow. That's bad.
I got the Protestant work ethic applied
today was the first time I didn't enjoy it, actually.
Right, that's the point.
Here's all I want you to say to your kids when we're going to the phone, Stro.
Right.
You say to them, you must learn to sleep on your back, and you must learn to beat off on your feet. Because
that's nice.
Because let me tell you, that 12-hour flight is nothing. You're sawing logs, or you're beating yourself to a pulp inside a room the size of a broom closet.
It's all good.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, all good.
The world is your oyster if you can beat off on your feet.
And sleep on your back.
And sleep on your back.
You had
back.
A lot
you're
to think
done.
About in that little room today.
Oh, I went all the way through it. Brittany?
Yeah.
18, what's up?
Hey.
What's up?
My question is, okay, I just got out of a 3-year relationship where my boyfriend treated me really bad. He liked to hit on me.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, hold on a second. How do you do the sample when you're on your back?
You don't.
I mean, what do you do?
Well, you kind of...
What?
You need the Zamboni.
I mean, it's a secondhand sample.
Yeah, probably.
That's a crime scene. You're just getting DNA off the guy's belly.
If there's a crime scene, we're there for you, man.
We bag a tag. We'll rope it off.
And we'll make you laugh at the same time.
Yeah, there's going to be hairs and stuff mixed in.
Bad,
lint.
Bad.
I mean, dog
scene.
Hair.
It's a bad scene.
It's a bad scene. I was just thinking, thank Christ, I work on my feet. Yeah. Brittany.
And by the way, are you doing in vitro or what's happening?
I don't know.
Oh, for God's sake.
I don't listen to anything. I just know the beat off part.
Oh, my God, your wife's going
to
hate you.
That's all. Brittany?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay,
Oh, your boyfriend hits you?
Hits on her, she said. But
he beats her
like
up.
He beats on you.
Yeah.
I dated him for 3 years, and I finally kicked him out.
How old was he?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been about a month and a half.
How old was he?
He was 21.
Ugh. So since he was dating you when he was 18 and you were 15?
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Get that music up. Thank you.
Hold on. I've heard enough. I've heard enough, Drew. I know I've been wrong. Almost every time I've made... this allegation, but this time I know it in my heart of hearts. A man knows when he's right.
Ready.
Brittany, North Carolina, 18, dating at 15, a physically abusive boyfriend.
Heavy accent.
Jew. Am I right, Brittany? You're Jewish?
No.
Oh, my
music.
God.
Have a Nagila.
I can't believe it. I'm over 30 on this one. I'm sorry, Brittany. So what do you want to do with this guy?
Okay, well, I kicked him out.
Good.
And I met
How long did he beat on you before you kicked him out?
Well, for a year when we both...
Please, come on, Anderson. This is sad.
Kicked him out of where?
Out of my house.
Wait, you're 15?
Mom's house. This is the way it's done today.
Mom's house?
When I turned 15, I moved in with him.
Oh, boy.
Nice idea.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. This is bad. Now, what were you running away? You must have had a horribly abusive environment at home, too, to run away from that. Oh, yes, Brittany, please. Who are you kidding? Yeah, you got 15-year-olds that do that are running away. So you ran away from one abusive environment into another. What are we going to do today?
Okay, so now I met this other boy, and I've only been broke up for a month and a half,
Do you really like this other boy?
Yeah, and every
Don't
time
do it. Then forget
him.
It. Then forget it. If you're really into him, it's going to be another abuser. Guarantee it.
But see, he's older. He's 29.
Okay, all right. What's he do?
Okay,
Welder.
Something Lovely. Around metal?
How did you know?
Just, you know.
We just are lucky that way, guy.
What does he do? Does he weld?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh. So bad. So bad. Welders are the worst. One day I'm going to make a laminate so you ladies can put it in your pocketbook and check it. Welder, bottom of the list, then it's roofer, then it's drywaller. We still even got up to pedophile. Yeah.
Just so you know what's on it with what we see. We have none of that information.
There's no weld. There's we don't nothing that's welding on
we
it.
We just know the syndrome.
No, this is like going and watching some sort of psychic.
It's Karnak. Yeah, I know it's Karnak. It's weird. Freak ourselves out.
This is Michael talking to you, and I am completely freaked out because these guys are magicians. How did they know welding?
Because we've talked to a billion Britneys.
All right.
Now, Brittany. Now, so listen, if these guys actually have sussed out. Through the context of a very few little pieces of information, what the deal is, I have a feeling that you should listen to what they say.
So here we go. Brittany, if you're attracted to the guy, he's going to be an abuser. So what you have to do is either A, get some treatment for that, or B, learn to live with relationships that are not quite so dramatic and exciting. Because every one of those you go for is going to be a disaster.
It does say here this guy has kids.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So much the better.
Yeah. Probably. Why at 18 do you want to fill your backpack with that much sand?
Well, see, I'm not with the 29-year-old, all I do is cry and everything about...
Right. But here, Brittany, let me give you a quick inspirational thing that you're not going to do, and then we're going to move on and forget about it. But but it is an opportunity. This is a crush. You're 18.
Uh-huh.
You're not 38. You're 18.
Mm-hmm.
You got time.
Most girls would be graduating from high school about now and thinking about their future.
Right.
You don't have to get married. You don't have to be a mother to some kids.
You don't have to have a man.
You don't even know. You don't even have to have a man. As a matter of fact, the best thing you could do right now is to be single, sort out a few thoughts, not get pregnant, not get a venereal disease, and start focusing on your future.
And if you have a mood problem when you're without the guy, get that taken care of. Don't treat it by taking on another abusive a-hole.
And here's something, girls. That isn't said enough. If you're with anyone who abuses you ever, verbally or physically, leave. Done.
Well, she
Goodbye.
Did. Finally. She
yeah,
did.
Well, finally, exactly. But
the problem with the problem, what you got to realize, the reality of that is the problem is they'll find another one. They'll go from one
to
the next.
That is
I don't
true.
I understand what took so long. I really don't.
We never do.
Yeah.
Well, here's the...
Because it happens here, so quick.
Yeah.
Part of our Karnak act here.
Yes,
we read the guests, too.
Here's the thing. So, Brittany... Please, I mean, here's we're making fun of you because of the whole white trash angle of this. But why don't you prove us wrong? I know it's amusing to you, and here's what it is: if you got a booger hanging out of your nose and everyone is pointing at it, why don't you go ahead and clear it out instead of laughing and everyone is laughing at you? You sound like you're on a collision course with a rope belt. A banjo and a house that has wheels on it that's going to either be flooded or blown away.
That'll be quaint.
That would be
I would wish that for
yes,
her.
That's Ellie Mae.
Yeah.
This is different. This is meth and tons of illegitimate kids. This is the new Ellie Mae.
Do you think there's anything Italian neorealism is going to do for her? Like some Antonioni or Fellini? Is there a video store that can
straighten her out?
Italians. The ex-boyfriend was an Italian.
See, our listeners are far too concrete for that kind
of thing. All right, so listen, Brittany. What do you want to do?
I don't know. The 29-year-old who's really
I don't care
nice.
About guys. What do you want to do
with your life?
And the other thing you need to do is not wrap your worth and your personality
around
men or how desirable or undesirable you are around men. Just
what
Brittany.
Do you do?
What does Brittany want to do?
I just want to have a good life, be happy.
Doing what? Why don't you decide what that is for you?
Yeah.
Not by virtue of caving, fusing with another person, blending your life into somebody else who, by the way, will be an abusive.
Yeah, why don't you decide what you want to do and think about some goals and try to achieve them?
Right.
Well, now I am going to school to be a registered nurse.
Focus on that.
Get through your training. The stuff will look a little different to you eventually.
Oh.
Become a psych nurse and you get some insight and all this stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Psych nurse. What do they do?
They hand out the sperm samples at them.
Oh, really?
Well, they
and study themselves.
Now, I just see them restraining people all day long.
Yeah, there's that. My nurses on the chemical dependency unit are extremely talented.
Really,
and have great understanding of people and how the stuff works. They would be.
Let me translate extremely talented, perform great fellatio and true.
No.
Exquisite. Oh, they're bad at it?
No.
Where they bite?
No.
Use their teeth?
No.
Well, then what's wrong with their fellatio? Look, let's just keep moving.
I don't have
the time to talk about their fellatio. Well, Drew, you can't be offended because I don't know what fellatio means. Brian?
I think it's Italian.
That's what I'm saying.
It's some sort of scone.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah, you get fellatio with raisins.
Exactly.
Brian.
Yeah.
Brian? 16, go ahead.
Hey, all right. I have been crushing painkillers and snorting them.
What, like OxyContin? What are you taking? Percocet?
Percocets, hydrocodone, codeine, Valium.
Well, Valium is not just a painkiller. Valium is a benzodiazepine. So now you're an opiate addict. You're a heroin addict, basically. So what do you want to do about it? What do you want to do?
I didn't know it was that serious.
You're a heroin addict.
Why snort?
It's a little faster. Well, maybe a little bit more of a peak.
Is it in and out of you a little bit faster?
Just
though?
In you a little faster. Mm. Maybe. It depends what the drug is.
Mm.
But, of course, it's acetaminophen, it's Tylenol complex.
Yeah, when you crush them, though, you lose a little of it. It'll get stuck on whatever you're crushing it with.
And the Tylenol doesn't do much of anything, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there something about absorption in the blood vessels
right,
in the nose that it goes instantaneously into your
right,
blood system?
Right, but this isn't pure opiate. Mm. He's got opiate with Tylenol in the crush he's making.
All right.
So, all right, anyway, but Brian, the issue is not the snorting. The issue is the opiate addiction. What do you want to do about it? And the benzos, which will give you a nice seizure if you stop using them suddenly.
Mm. I don't know, because, I smoke a lot of cigarettes as well. All that stuff together.
Well, the opiates and the benzos are something that should be done in a hospital. I've really rarely seen it successfully done as an outpatient, and certainly not in terms of keeping you off it. So
Brian,
you're in Maryland. There's lots of people out there that treat addiction. Take advantage of that. But the combo of the benzodiazepine and the opiate is going to be a very difficult detox.
Well, here's the good news, Brian. You're 16. You know, we talk to people that are in their 30s and lost everything. Mm-hmm. You got nothing to lose. You got like a Cheryl Teagues poster and a peachy folder.
And it is
you have at 16. You got like an Xbox to lose.
There's a point here, too, that the withdrawals are usually much milder under the age of 18.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the problems. People start believing they can take start and stop when they wish.
So, Brian, here's your opportunity. You may not get it again.
All right.
Enjoy. Whatever.
Yeah, people are like sponges absorbing our pearls of wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah. I like when I start laughing, like, give an inspirational speech to me, Drew.
This is your chance, Adam. You can get off opiates, get in the hospital. Yeah. Those benzos are going to give you a seizure.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Woo! That's some good stuff. You'll do one of them comedy albums. You regular Richard Pryor, M.D. Pryor. That's some funny ass.
Well, so go ahead and have a seizure. It's fine. That's right. You can have a seizure about 6 to 7 days out.
I'm going to have a seizure if you keep me laughing this hard, Doc. Wait, this is good stuff.
What was the question there?
I don't know.
Hey,
guess what? I'm on drugs.
Well, he wants to know if the snorting is going to cause trouble.
Yeah, it all causes trouble. Yeah, there's the answer to all of it, yes.
People really don't realize, too, how long this can, how long you can, well, you're never going to win the battle with drugs. I mean, I hate to sound trite and corny. It'll eventually get you, but you don't want it to wait till you're in your 40s and then look back and have no life from, you know, 15 to 45.
Just
nip it at 17 or 16 and
move
on.
The other unfortunate thing, that the more we learn about drugs of abuse and addiction, the more we see the persistent changes in the brain. People don't appreciate, and I don't mean brain damage. I mean that...
Oh, that's no more, Drew. Come on, man. I sure hurt my side, man.
Now we got a good break.
Well, what else, Drew? Seriously, what else does it do?
I can't, because I need it to be.
What else would it do? Go ahead. What does it do to your brain?
It does bad things.
It changes the motivation system.
Something about an egg?
Permanently. Permanently.
That is great stuff. Are you writing this down? You're going to forget this. You better write this down. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Don't do drugs.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Michael Weatherly here tonight. Pauly Perrette here tonight. NCIS airs Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock on CBS.
Don't forget to listen to that Nine Inch Nails song. Give away a free iPod Nano for the first person who calls in and says iPod Nano. And I guarantee it won't be early in the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the song. And that's,
don't call now.
It's going to be in the last hour, I'm sure. We want people to keep listening.
All right. Let's keep on keeping on and talk to Eric, who told his girlfriend she's cervical cancer due to STDs.
Oh, boy.
Possibly alcoholic. Drew knows you love reading. What? Can't trust guys in relationships. Let's talk to Six, and then we'll get back to Eric. Sarah?
Yeah.
You're 22?
Yes, sir.
Are you good looking?
I pull my weight.
She pulls her weight.
That could be bad.
This would be like a
dump truck pulls its weight.
No, dog's
not
in a ditter
like on. Yeah, I'm good looking, but I don't want to sound cocky or anything.
All right.
Fair enough.
You know what? But just go ahead and say it. If you're good looking, you're good looking. Like, I know I'm hot. And, you know, I don't have any problems with talking about it. It's part of who I am.
You sound like Michael.
Oh, that's kind of
Well,
mean.
No. I mean, Michael knows I'm hot. You know, if that's...
Michael talks about how hot you are all the time.
That's
it's
what
like,
I'm saying.
Michael, enough. Something else.
Go ahead, Sarah. Yeah. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, well, I guess you guys could guess my background and everything, I'll just go ahead and lay it all out.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I'm 22, and I was molested by my cousin when I was younger, like when I was like 8 or 9 or something. Mm-hmm. And my mom passed away when I was like 6, and I have a really good relationship with my dad.
Your mom lost?
Passed away.
Oh, passed away when you were 6. All right.
And I like busted my behind in high school, got a scholarship to move out because me and my dad's ex-wife, his second wife, didn't get along. When I went to college, I like got into like really harsh drugs. And about 2 years ago, I became drug free because I was at an underground party and I was rolling, and I ended up getting raped. And then like I don't really remember that much of it, so it wasn't like too traumatizing. Of course, it was bad because.
Yeah. All right.
And since then, like my dating habits kind of changed.
Your
like
what? Dating habits?
Yeah. Since being raped. Or since getting off drugs?
Well,
it was a convergence,
simultaneously.
Right.
Are you in the program, or are you just abstinent right now?
No, I totally just, like, went cold turkey and just stopped everything after that happened. So I guess it was kind of a double-edged sword. It was, like, the best thing and the worst thing that happened to me, because...
Yeah. When you don't get involved in some sort of recovery program, it can be a very unpleasant road.
Well, no, like, abstinent. I'm fine with that. Like, honestly, like...
Like, all right,
I went to therapy twice, and, like, because I
Well, you're cured, then.
Yeah, cured twice.
Yeah, I don't know why. So. Yeah, well, no, twice like, is once too many. You go once, you're cured.
I couldn't stay with it. Like, as soon as there's, like, some sort of progress being made, felt instead of, like, progressing,
Sarah,
I was just, like,
becoming
more sad.
Sarah, hot chicks are endless. They don't listen, and they can talk their asses off. Yeah. Sarah.
Yes.
Even when you yell their name. Here's the deal. The rape incident probably didn't help what you thought about men, but I would say your childhood probably had more to do with that than being raped as an adult, because the cement was sort of drying your brain already, although it can definitely have an adverse effect on you. I wouldn't pin everything on this event that you don't remember that happened when you were an adult.
Right. It can cause a sort of PTSD reaction.
Right. I would go back and examine the traumatic childhood you had and focus on that more than the rape incident that happened later on.
And you basically have two choices. You can keep going to therapy, as painful as it is. If these were easy things to do, you'd do them automatically on your own, but they're very painful, and the fact that it is uncomfortable means you are working, which is a positive thing. Or you can go to a 12-step program, get a sponsor, begin working steps, and maybe sort of find a more
acceptable program for, like, drugs? Or
yes, you're a drug addict.
Even though I've been sober for, like...
There's people in there who've had one hit off a joint in 1961, and they've been in there for 45 years.
Well, beside that, the fact, though, is with her...
You don't have to be a drug addict.
That you do, but the fact is that, Sarah, if you don't replace your drugs and alcohol with some process, anxiety and depression becomes overwhelming. So you have a choice.
Yeah.
What? Being raped... doing drugs is not...
She doesn't remember the rape, though. She doesn't
recall. Exactly, but a lot of times people will blame themselves. Like, if I wasn't doing drugs, I wouldn't have been raped. That is not your fault. Rape is a crime that was committed by a criminal. That is not your fault. Drugs is one problem.
It's not a sexual crime.
Right. It's not. That is something
that
you have... You have two big issues. That's two big issues.
No, please.
One is drug addiction and one is rape. But the rape... Often people make that connection that if I wasn't on drugs, I wouldn't have been raped.
The reason she was raped is because she was sexually... People have been sexually abused become perfect victims. And when we see a rape in adolescence, we know that there'll be a rape later on.
Guilty of drug abuse, not guilty of causing a rape.
The rape can, of course not. The rape can trigger a post-traumatic stress reaction, another thing, but this is a bigger picture of trauma and addiction, and that's what will be treated.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Eric, who's 28. Eric?
Yeah, hi.
What's happening?
How is everyone, by the way?
Good, what's up?
Okay.
You just checking in on us?
No, I was just wondering.
Drew, is there, the problem with this show is you can't make small talk with us, and I take it out of the studios, my problems. Like, I'll be at some dinner party, and someone will go, how are you doing? Good.
Anyway.
How are you? You doing all right? Yeah, what is it? Let's get going. Let's get to it. Just make some small talk while we're waiting at the bar here. Okay, let's go. You have a question? No? Oh, well, then why are you talking to me? Let's go now. Were you raped? What happened? you can't make any small talk anymore. You don't realize how much of a conversation is just this sort of, fluff that's in between
the
pillow ends.
And it was just your waiter.
Yeah. How's it going? Yeah, let's go. Let's keep it going now. Yeah. I know that's my new move, actually. When I go out to eat, I order everything in one big lump. I don't like that part where you order the wine and then they come back 25 minutes later. My feeling is, if you got them, you know what the worst move is? The worst move is when the person you're sitting with tells them you need a minute. My wife and I, this happened a few months back. It was that thing where it's like, yeah, I'm ready to order. Can you give us a minute? The person turned up. No, that ain't a minute, sweetie. That's 39 minutes.
Right.
That means we're now officially off the radar.
Right, right.
We ain't in line anymore, you understand? We're just in our car.
Toast, yeah.
We're out.
You weren't ready to land the aircraft? Now we're up by Santa Barbara.
Go back in line. Right.
But here's the thing. We ain't even in a holding pattern airport.
No.
We're just going back,
back to Palmdale. Go back to Palmdale and go back around.
Not on the radar. When you tell that waiter or waitress, we need a minute, then you're screwed. Now, here's what we can do. I can order slowly and you can get your ass together. By the way, linguine and clams every time anyways. Really? You even have to look at the menu? Ordered that. That's when I went through the roof. But the waitress comically passed us you know, 33 times, and I would get angrier each time, and I couldn't have a conversation anymore until the person she'd banished from our table came back into the kingdom.
Speaking of anger, am I the only one here just dying?
It is hot.
I can't breathe in here.
It's exquisitely hot in here.
I cannot breathe.
Yes, I'm wearing...
It went down 1 degree.
I'm wearing gym shorts.
Yeah, but it shuts off when it goes... Somebody reset the damn thing. I cannot breathe in here.
What happened to the dial?
I don't know, but this is so unacceptable. I can't even tell you. I don't get upset about it. You got upset. This kills me. This is
not... I don't get upset about the thermostat.
Wow.
Let me just tell a lovely story. The last time they locked the thermostat on us, it was in the other studio and it was in the other room, and they had one of those stupid glass fish bowls around the thing. And I was frying in the studio, and I came walking around, and I said, what's up? Will you lower the thermostat? And they're like, no, we locked it. We can't get to the thing. And I said, oh, you can't get it open? I can get it open, and I jumped up on the console, and I kicked it off the wall, and the thing went flying and shattered, and then I lowered it, and then I got home that night and realized I had to do Howard Stern at 4 a.m., and I needed my Zephyr hooked up with the ISDN, or whatever it was, and I had to call the station and talk to an engineer, and I was like, hey, man, I'm really in a bind over here. You think you could get the ISDN hooked up? And he's like, how's that thermostat doing, brother?
I'm like, fixing that now.
Yeah, I'm working on the thermostat. So the moral of the story is, do not physically attack equipment where you work and then expect the folks that have to fix what you attack to come by your house and work on your stuff. That's the moral of that story. But you want me to kick this, Drew? I will kick it.
I want something done. That's
Eric?
Not right.
Hello.
Sorry.
By the way, the only studio in this whole building that's 88 degrees.
It is hot in here.
The rest of them are 68.
Go, Eric.
I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah, Eric.
Can cervical cancer, can that form from an STD?
Yes, it's caused by cervical warts, by genital warts, human papillomavirus. That's what causes it. And perhaps herpes may have a role to play, too.
And anything else?
No, okay, that's what causes it.
I was wondering, if they can find the corrupted
cells.
You
can't get cervical cancer unless it was you were exposed
that's
to warts.
That's what they're thinking now, yeah.
Really? They didn't think that.
I know.
That's new info from Dr. Drew.
They're really thinking it's causative. And so, by the way, that's why they're advocating circumcision, because men are less likely to get the warts and transmit the warts. In fact, I'm holding here a new article about AIDS. Here's an AIDS expert Saturday advocated male circumcision as the best available vaccine against the virus in Africa.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I am circumcised.
It decreases the probability of these things getting into your system as a male, and thereby you transmit it to the female. And certain subsets of the virus...
Well, it's sort of the difference between a... let's just say a smooth ball when it hits the dirt would not gather as much dirt as one that was textured or it had flaps on it or something like that.
Flaps would hold it there.
Exactly. So, I mean, the foreskin actually captures and hangs on to whatever the virus or whatever is going on and then transmits it.
A little flavor
to the female.
Well, now that it increases the probability the male is going to get the actual infection and then he gives it to the female.
Well, someone will just give this heads up to the good folks over there in Africa and they'll hop right on that.
No,
that's the way it works over there. We just give a little heads up. Hey, folks, need you to put some condoms on. Pow!
It's circumcised.
Done! Done and done. You don't have to say it twice. Done! And that's why there's no problems in that part of the world.
It's all taken care of.
It's all taken care of. You get one quick heads up, you don't have to say it twice.
Snip, and condom, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There's certain subsets of the wart virus. Tends to be the one that persists through time that is most at risk for the cervical cancer. And, if your girlfriend, you're having sex with her, you've got the wart virus, and you should consider yourself infectious, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless you want to think about abstinence, Eric, which is always a...
Okay, I have one more question, if that's okay.
1 second. By the way, I'm participating in this Trojan sort of...
is that a USC thing?
No, it's a Trojan condom research.
Although he is an alum.
Yeah. And,
go ahead.
But I've watched UCLA games.
Yeah.
And
P-Whippo.
But I've just listened to literature research on condom effectiveness, and it is overwhelming how effective condoms are. All this BS about condoms being, maybe not, or we're not really sure. Oh, my God. When you really look at the literature and you go over the last, 3 years of medical literature, it's overwhelming.
That's fantastic, because it shouldn't be only the female's responsibility. That is fantastic. Condoms should be celebrated.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Well,
by all people at all times.
Yeah.
Even on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice if the folks in some of the parts of the world would hop on the condom bandwagon and start using
Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, right. That's right.
It would be nice to get them into it, too.
Yeah.
But, wherever we drop them off, they should just put them on. And put them on immediately. Yeah. Don't wait for sex.
Let's take a break. I want to take one, put one on right now.
Oh, you don't have yours on?
No. No.
I got mine on. I got mine on. You want to buddy up? You want to get in mine?
No.
Two guys
in
a sleeping bag?
I like my own. I would.
Okay. Yeah. You need to buddy up.
I don't have mine.
You want a buddy breathe?
We're going to talk about the Magnum, too, because I'm a little confused about the Magnum.
Magnums are just a little bit bigger at the tip. But the actual bigger condoms are called Magnum XLs.
XL?
Magnum XLs, yeah. Those are the actual. The Magnums are just kind of a cool
brand. We'll never need those.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right.
Well, you and Adam. But anyway, here we go.
Well, if we start doubling, we start buddying up.
No, I just saw them the other day in Mark Harmon's trailer, and I didn't know what
that was. Oh, he's got a gay buddy who's hung. Sad.
I'm a big boy.
I didn't know he was gay. You know what you don't see in movies so much anymore? When they do that thing where they're underwater and they got the scuba tank, but I only got one scuba tank and yours is out of air and we got to do that buddy breathing thing.
Yeah.
It used to be about every third movie someone was doubling up
National
on the
Treasure
breathing.
Did that. That's because
they did
the movie. Yeah.
Breathe.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's my turn.
Navy SEAL, he jumped down underwater and got
I like the buddy. I like the buddy breathing.
I think you can get the Hep C from that.
That's probably what it is. Dangerous message.
Yes,
nobody
exactly.
wants to work with that actress.
Yeah.
They're all like,
we'd be underwater and you'd want a buddy up to me and I'd be pointing at a canker sore on your lips. Sorry. My friend, salt water's not going to make a dent in that. Sorry. You'll die. I know your foot's trapped in the wreckage, but I'm sorry.
That's the way it goes.
Well, I'll get a dental dam and come down if you're still here. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Holly, here's the deal. You got to get him before the show starts.
No, she's got the rock star thing.
Polly Perrette is here tonight. Michael Polly Weatherly.
Polly's got a thing about her bladder.
Polly Perrette, that's what you get.
Yeah, he writes me songs with my name in them. Everything that rhymes with Perrette, which isn't easy. You have like Barrette and Get.
I'll give you a little bladder tip. If you don't chug beers, you'll not urinate.
Henry
as
Miller
often.
Said it's a sign of genius.
Right,
true? Right?
That's what you said.
I don't know that name. Yeah, NCIS.
He works down the block at the deli. He's very cool.
Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock on CBS. Big premiere last week, and second episode coming up this Tuesday. Yes, Drew, who do you want to talk to?
Quick one. One of those two you pick.
All right, let's go with Jessica's been on hold for 73
she's
minutes.
Calling in already.
Jessica. You're 20?
I'm 20, yes.
What's up?
Well, Dr. Drew said once that a while back that he really enjoyed reading. And the thing is, I wrote a book.
That's where we parted ways.
I know, Adam hates that. Hates
that
about me.
I didn't find that out.
I know. He would never have sat for all these years had he known that.
Well, you know, once in a while you find out some guy you like and you see him, you learn that he smacked his wife, or you find out he's a racist, or you find out he's a communist, and you're like, we can't hang anymore.
Right.
That's when I found out Drew was into reading.
That was
it,
reaction.
It was worse, actually.
So anyway.
You wrote a book, Jessica?
Yes, I did. And I was hoping I could tell Drew about it, and if he's interested, I could send him a free copy.
This is going to be huge. What's it called?
It's called Exodus.
Uh-huh. And what's it about?
Well, it's kind of about the Holocaust, only if it happened here and now. Like, it took place in present day and in our country.
Oh, he doesn't like reading fiction. He likes good text, you know, stuff he can really learn
from.
Oh,
but maybe it would make him a better person to broaden his horizons. I mean, everyone could use some more culture, right?
Yeah. I talked to Drew during the break, and he said F horizons. He's tired of his horizons being broadened.
We'll take a look at it.
I'd like to start reining in my horizons. I'm tired of broadening them. Let's start focusing our horizons,
good
everybody.
Good idea.
How long can you broaden your horizon? You really should start focusing and narrowing it down. Finding what your horizon is best at instead of just being a jack of all horizons and a master of no horizons.
I hate it when the sun comes up. Hate.
Yeah, the sun.
Horizons, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, even the sun coming up in general is bad.
Bad, very bad. Horizons is overrated.
I would be fine if the sun came up about 12 hours later than whenever
4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6.
Yeah, makes sense.
Totally.
Makes sense. Be a better society. Eventually, we'd all turn into weird druid like creatures, like in Omega Man. Our eyes would go white. We'd all get all pink. We'd
don't
all look
judge,
like Larry Flint. Yeah, it'd be awesome.
Isn't that how it is in Iceland, though?
Yeah.
That's what happens there.
Scott?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes.
What's up?
Question for Dr. Drew. No, I
both of my grandparents, on both my parents' side, like my grandfather, my grandmother, my mom's side, and my grandfather, my grandmother, and my mom's side, are they were heavy alcoholics. But my real father, he doesn't drink, and my mother doesn't drink either. Right. And I just want to know what the probability of me being an alcoholic is.
Do you feel like you've got momentum with alcohol?
Somewhat. I mean, like, I know that it can eventually become a problem. It's starting to snowball a little bit.
All right. Well, here's the deal. So you've got the gene. Whatever the probability, it's 100% because you're describing that tendency. And one of your parents has the gene but never expressed the disease because they saw how it devastated their own parents, so they restricted their relationship with alcohol. And you can still have the genetic potential. Just because you have the potential doesn't mean you're going to have the disease.
Yeah, okay.
In your case, you haven't lived around the devastation from the disease. You have the gene, it sounds like. You started a relationship with alcohol. It picks up momentum and off you
all
go.
Right. Plus, you're calling from Wisconsin, so you almost have to drink.
And are you Irish?
No, I'm not. I'm actually French.
Aha. Uh-huh.
French.
Yeah, I know you have a
thing. I think you're going to be all right, then.
French is very rare alcohols.
Excellent wine. Yeah. Excellent wine, though.
Isn't there something else in your...
It's just funny, though, because they start... You know, they put wine in their cereal. Well, kids are drinking when they're nine.
They killed off all the alcoholics.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that's why.
During the revolution?
No, because they exposed them to so much alcohol culturally, they all died of alcoholism.
Oh, really?
And the people left behind can tolerate the alcohol.
Oh, that's what I'm shooting for.
They have one of the highest incidences of cirrhosis with the lowest incidence of alcoholism.
What about heart?
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
So you mean you start drinking at 11.
And you don't get disease, no alcoholism, but you can have consequences from the use. And when you find out the consequences, you stop using. Pow, stop.
Chocolate. Yeah. All right, let's take a little break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Michael Weatherly here tonight. Pauly Perrette here tonight from NCIS Tuesdays.
It's 8 p.m. It's also known as Schnizzle on the Nizzle, NCIS.
CBS.
Yeah.
Drew.
That's what we do.
Were you trying to say something?
Doggy Dr. Drew was at your door.
That's right. I'm knocking with an iPod Nano. It's night, and each night this week we're giving away a new iPod Nano, and all you have to do is listen for the Nine Inch Nails song only as a bump-in music. That's the music we hear coming out of commercial like that. This is the music. This is not the time to call, however.
This isn't the time to call. Don't call.
And the first person to call who says iPod Nano when they hear this music, who's 18 years or older, will win an iPod Nano.
You got to do the only part right, because it's confusing that it's the Nine Inch Nails song only in our bumper music the way you say it.
Okay, the song you just heard, which is called Only by Nine Inch Nails.
Right, in the bumper.
Is that a hit song? Is that like a big, giant hit tune?
Well, it's Trent Reznor. I mean, come on.
It's a new one? Hmm. All right. Well, I'm trying to catch up. I'm 51 years old.
Come on. Don't be Squaresville, Daddy-O. Dino?
Yo.
You're 21?
Yes, sir.
You want to play some Germany or Florida with us?
You bet.
All right. You give us a story. We'll give you the answer. Tell you whether it's Germany or Florida. Go ahead.
I'm ready to go. A veterinarian thought the x-ray was a joke. He'd seen strange items get into the stomachs of dogs before, like kebab skewers or small utensils. But a 13-inch serrated knife that somehow was swallowed by a 6-month-old puppy, that was a new one. I was just flabbergasted, the vet said. Elsie, a St. Bernard puppy, apparently had the blade between her esophagus and stomach for about 4 days before it was removed earlier this week in a 2-hour operation.
Hmm. Germany or Florida? Well, I hear Elsie and St. Bernard.
I think Germany, yeah.
I think Germany.
But the clues are there. Let's use our forensic.
But on the other hand, Pauly, no one spends money on pets like Americans.
And not only I'm an animal rescuer. I'm just saying. There's a lot of Florida.
Yeah. You feel Florida. Pauly's going to Florida. Michael, what do you think, Germany or Florida?
I did a film in Germany once, and I'm going to go with Germany.
Oh, yeah.
I've spent a little time with the people there. And
they like their dogs?
Yeah, they like knives.
They're like knives.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
They're like knives. They're like St. Bernard.
Yes, but the German knives would have sliced them all apart.
There's never been a serial killer in Florida. Mm-hmm. Like, no crime.
14-inch.
No crime in Miami.
14-inch. Did you say 14-inch? Or 13-inch serrated knife?
Definitely America.
13-inch serrated knife.
Here's the thing. 13... This is 13 inches.
It's a puppy.
And a serrated
but
knife.
But a St. Bernard puppy's a big dog.
It's not bigger than you are. You would notice a 13-inch serrated knife in your gullet.
And you think somebody shoved it down? Now we're in Florida.
No, I just think it's a little hyperbole on the.
I think
voice
it was journalistic excess.
I think it was a drunk Frenchman in Germany.
I've got a little Florida feel.
There's a guy from Miami in Germany.
All right, so who are you going, Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, you're changing
just
to Florida.
Just got a Florida feel.
All right, Michael and I are going Germany. Paul and Drew going Florida.
You're in Florida, Paulie?
I am.
Florida?
Yeah. Okay. So now we find out. Is it Germany down. Or Florida? Dino?
Plantation, Florida.
Yeah.
Just so you know, I grew up down south.
Yeah. Wow.
I was looking for a little Dr. Strangelove, and I didn't get it.
So sad. So right. sad. And Drew, changing.
Instincts. All back.
Drew, I love how you switch sides so quickly.
You're a waffler.
Based on instinct only.
No, not a waffler, a thinker.
That's all you got
thinkers
is your instincts.
Thinkers are always
right,
ready
Mr.
for Krolla? Evolution.
That's what Mr. Krolla taught me. All you got is your instincts.
That's
thinkers
all you
evolve.
Got, baby.
Thinkers evolve.
That's right.
I gotta go pee.
All right. Dino?
I have to pee.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dino.
Thanks for playing Germany, Florida.
So Polly has a urinary tract problem. Oh, she gets infections recurrently.
Well, it's that rough sex.
Drew's trying to bring up... Drew has a new pharmaceutical product he's about to pitch. So go.
That honeymoon cystitis, you know.
He's using me as his
pot. There's a whole wing of Drew's house that's funded by pharmaceutical companies.
Well, no, it's you know, you got to take the antibiotics.
What is it, Drew? Tell us what...
The Cipro.
Which was confused by some people as a drug that's only used for anthrax, which was very upsetting during the problem in Louisiana because they were sent something. It's a million different things that Cipro works for. It was identified in the media as anthrax only, but it also is for every, like, bowel infection, every
Cipro's
kind of thing that was happening.
Yeah, Cipro is a very powerful, it's called quinolone antibiotics. It's another version that is of, oh my goodness, I'm blocking this. And there's fluoro...
No one cares. Here's
we care.
Oh my God,
we care. It was misidentified as the medicine
Leviquin,
that was supposed
Leviquin,
to be sent.
I beg your pardon. Leviquin's the one that is just like it.
See, no one
and,
cares.
This it's for enteral bacteria, like the Shigella and the
for
Salmonella.
All of
but it's good for gram-negative bacteria. It has some gram-positive activity, so it can be a first.
Not
infection.
Just anthrax, which is what it was tied to, but it's used for everything.
Anthrax had that whole thing not come up. I wouldn't have noted it was good for anthrax because we use it every day
for infections, for everything. And it was sent apparently to help out with people with other things, and it was sent back because it was identified as only an anthrax drug, which isn't.
Can I crush it? Can I crush it up
back?
And snort it?
Snorted?
No, I can't.
It was sent back from Louisiana?
Yes.
Really? They sent it back? People, whoever it's going
I'm saying
to,
nothing,
don't
I
have
know
enough.
Too much.
It was the only thing that and NSYNC posters were sent back.
Well, I mean, aren't the drugs going to people who first know their way around a drug? I mean, you're not just some guy making a call on a loading dock. Well, I'm sure the guys are seeing the doctors are requesting things, right?
Where are the doctors?
I think they're over there.
They're working their tails off, and
What do you say?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, do you think it actually got sent back?
Hey,
do you know what I'm saying?
Google it. That's what you did to me. Google it.
All right. Just saying it sounds like a conspiracy theory.
It was more of a mistake, not a conspiracy theory.
Right.
Although conspiracy theories are very fun.
Jonathan?
23.
Yes,
what's
ma'am?
Up? What's happening?
I suffer from retarded ejaculation. I can have sex for about 45 minutes, but just simply with some women cannot get off at all.
Jonathan, relax.
Mm-hmm. All right. Are you in the military, Jonathan?
No.
He's a clear and present voice.
You should take that energy and steer it toward a country we don't like instead of turning on your own troops, which is what you're doing now. Yeah.
Where's Jonathan from?
Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon. Wow.
It doesn't matter because you can hear him. You just open your window.
It's dry there now.
I'll tone it down. Sorry about that.
All right. You're excited. I like that. And... So this only happens with certain women.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing.
Jonathan, calm down. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
If it's a girl that I'm dating or a girl who I have some potential love for, it's bad. Like that's when it's worse. And yet, if it's a random hookup or a girl kind of skanky, things are sometimes fine.
How long is it when things are fine?
Normal time, 5-10 minutes, 15 minutes.
So really it's anxiety. When you're in a situation where the stakes are up, when you're sort of emotionally on the line, it's a little bit much for you, and that's okay. Maybe take it a little slower in the relationships and make sure the relationship is established before you go ahead with the attempts at sex.
And some girls don't mind, just so you know.
Some.
Don't mind
some
the quickie.
Some girls don't mind what?
The quickie.
The quickie or the longie?
The quickie.
Well, this doesn't happen at all,
this is,
right?
Wait, I'm confused.
This is, he's taking his time.
Wait, you mean some women don't mind a guy that takes 45 minutes to ejaculate?
No, I said a quickie.
You're right, because this isn't his problem.
I think Polly put herself in the other category.
I see.
I swear to God, he said 45 seconds.
No, 45 minutes. Most women don't like more than 10 minutes. 10 minutes is like... Hey, 5 minutes even for
some. It's funny sitting around 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys and them telling me how women feel.
Well, I was just talking to women all night. They tell us. We report it.
Tell us what you want.
Yeah. We're just listening.
Yeah. To this bladder infection.
No, and I'm just watching.
Metal workers.
Right. You take 20 minutes, you get a bladder infection. Most women.
Yeah.
20 minutes. That's what happens.
Yeah. That's why I always set the timer for 20 minutes.
Stop it right there.
19 In 59 seconds, I pull out.
So, Jonathan, the deal is you've got to find ways to be more comfortable in the relationships. And this.
Well, you got to get into a relationship. Yeah. You're just bouncing around.
So tell me this, then. Does that mean that I just need to know myself and say, hey, I can't have promiscuous sex?
No, promiscuous sex.
I thought that worked for you.
Promiscuous sex is what does work for you. It's when you actually have a...
Yeah.
Confusing.
What kind of sex isn't promiscuous?
You have to understand yourself that when you get anxious, you don't function very well. So you have to get some degree of comfort in a relationship that's meaningful for you before you attempt to climb the mountain.
Okay. Let me ask you this, Drew. Is it something that's genetic, or is it masturbation tied, or what is it?
It's genetic.
It's not tied
to masturbation.
Yeah, well,
what do you do? Do you sell something for a living?
No.
What do you do? What do you do?
Don't work. Live with the folks.
Ooh. Wow. What's going on? You going to school?
Are you a serial killer? I'm sorry.
Well, now he's going to be.
Not a serial killer, no. Going to school.
But
he
wasn't
going to
be, and then you planted that seed.
Nice.
No, school. He didn't say school the first time. He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm living with my folks, I'm going to school.
Regular school or junior college?
No, regular school. 4 years.
Right on.
For the most part, Jonathan, that timing to orgasm in males and women is sort of genetically set.
Mm.
And then what gets, you know, as you're finding out, there's sort of psychological stuff that influences, like in your case, anxiety is typically a common thing and it makes it worse. But, you know, women that have multiple orgasms, that's a genetic thing. Women that have only orgasm with oral sex, that's a genetic thing.
Everything's
guys
genetic.
Guys that are 45 seconds, genetic thing.
Right.
Guys
squirting,
that are 45 minutes.
The squirters.
The squirting thing is a genetic thing.
Cruise decorator. Touch for the hand of God.
Hey, Jonathan, have you run into any of them?
Oh, hold on a second. The squirters. Jonathan?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You ever ran into a squirter?
Never, but, man, I sure wish I had.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, keep at it.
Oh, did you imagine Jonathan doing a touchdown dance?
You just keep your nose to the grindstone and your eyes open, son, and you'll find a squirter. That's what my father told me.
Up in Portland there, you're going to... It's rainy country.
Yeah.
You know what he was going to say next?
Get your nose to the labia stone.
Tell us, Drew.
Mason jar.
That was bogus.
Yeah, he was going to say mason jar.
Jonathan, you feel bogus to us.
No, man.
You're
not going to
give him a mason jar comment?
Just being real.
All right, Jonathan.
Me too, man.
All right. Now,
keep it real.
Calm down. You're going to freak chicks out. You understand?
Ooh. Whoa. Got the F-bomb. Finally. Polly let it loose.
Sorry. We warned you.
That's just the tip of the...
There it is.
I'm terrified.
You got to let the delay reset here.
Yeah,
all right, well, let me talk about something unimportant then. Here's the thing, too, about Jonathan. You can't hit chicks with 1,000 words. You got to lay back and have them try to pry words out of you.
Tell me what chicks like.
I'll tell you what chicks like. Chicks like what they're not getting. So if you're a guy who doesn't talk much, they want you to talk.
Really?
But if you're a guy who does a lot of talking, they'd like you to be quiet. And they don't like seeing too much enthusiasm, but they do like to see enthusiasm from a guy who's not enthusiastic.
It is fascinating that you know more about me than me.
Well,
I'm so baffled by your insight.
You're simpler than I am. And secondly, I've studied you. You've not had that same opportunity.
So you're the guy. You're the one.
Well, humans don't differ that
much. You've
been
in my apartment, haven't you?
I cannot close my eyes and
see it. I'm getting you printed right now and a DNA sample's on its way.
You can close your eyes and see
it. I can promise you this. You would not have that bladder infection when I was done with you.
Michael's the one with the bladder infection.
Well under
20. He's the one that talks about it all the time.
Well under 20.
Yeah, the size and the timing can add to the issues with the bladder infection.
You got to be careful with those bladder infections.
That would be a perfect partner for
really?
You.
Really?
Yeah.
Perfect.
They can lead to kidney infections,
perfect.
Right? That can be a very well,
actually, the truth is that Michael actually, scientifically, is the one who gave me my background, which we said, you know, we're not going to talk about this because we have this little thing. He gave me the background on the evolution of a bladder urinary tract infection, and I was fascinated by it.
Well, bacteria bacteria live in your perioneum that comes
and
from the colon.
And it wasn't him who had it, but he just told me we were talking
and
about
and it gets pushed up the urethra
my
and
doctor.
Grows in the bladder. Mm-hmm. And if you don't treat it while it's in the bladder, it will ascend up the ureters and
that's
hit the kidney.
That's fascinating to me, anti-gravity.
And, well, it just climbs up. And it's extension of an infection in a closed space, basically.
Kidney's
and once
bad.
It hits the kidney, you'll start vomiting, get high fevers, have to be in the hospital, and get kidney failure.
Yeah. Wow.
This is one of the many ways people died from sex before antibiotics.
It's very serious. And Cipro is
well, quinolones
the
are common. You know, they more common. They actually use the sulfa medicines now because the women that are prone to bladder infections really have to take antibiotics every time they have sex, and so sulfa is a little safer.
What's the difference?
Or unless you drink or take. So I was told cranberry juice.
It helps,
there's
but
something
it may not.
Doesn't help, but it has to be done
and
prior
Budweiser.
To, which doesn't
maybe.
Help after you know.
Maybe.
So,
yeah, it may help. May help.
All right. Nothing
not
that
really?
Tastes good
maybe
really
not
helps.
True?
Maybe not. It's just the mechanics of having sex pushes the bacteria in, and not much you can do about that sometimes.
Chris?
Sometimes.
What's the difference between a bladder infection and urinary tract infection?
They are the same thing.
All right.
Does
Chris?
One move to the other? Do they create each other? Doesn't the urinary tract and bladder
urinary
is the same
tract
thing?
Is just referring from your kidneys to your bladder to your urethra. That's the kidney tract. That's the urinary tract. And bladder is specific to the bladder, which is what happens before it gets on up to the kidneys.
Hey, you know what they ought to do? They ought to name subway and light rail systems after these things so people knew. Because the L and the R and all that stuff and the numbers and everything.
Called the kidney and the ureter?
Yeah, but this has a cute name. What's it called? Honeymoon something?
Cystitis.
It's got a cute little
not
logo.
That part. I just mean you know where you're going. It's sort of, you know, if you're getting on at the ankle, you'll be getting off at the hip.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? There's a succession here.
Yes.
It's a way for people who travel to learn about the urinary tract and not only... only that, but the lower bowel.
Oh, wait till we get to the cardiovascular system. Oh, my God.
How would it go, Drew?
A femoral artery, iliac artery.
You might get on there.
Fantastic.
Well, where might you get off?
In the heart. Get off in the left right ventricle.
But you don't want to get... it's like that little... What's the film with the little tiny ship that sails through the, you know, all the different arteries and things?
I think that was a dream.
Fantastic voyage.
Which you've just taken us on. Thank you, Dr. Yes. Drew.
Yeah, except for not
and
so you, fantastic.
Except they don't want to go into the...
Yeah. That's called the boring voyage by Dr. Drew.
Well, they hit the arteriovenous malformation that sent them into the left ventricle.
Now it's exciting.
Everything I wanted to know about sex, there was also the...
Chris?
No, Sam.
All right, let's pretend like we're on the air for just 10 minutes.
Are we on the air?
Right. Okay.
Chris, you're 16.
Are you telling him that, or did he tell you that?
Chris, I'm trying to pretend like we're
guessing?
On the air.
Chris, are you there?
Hi, my name's Chris. I'm
16. There we go. Go ahead. Yeah.
You're 19. Go ahead.
Okay, I had some questions for the NCIS people, but first I just want to tell them I have a friend that's absolutely in love with that show, and thanks to him he got me into it. But anyway, I was wondering if you guys had some history with forensic science before you were on the show, or did they just do a casting call and you guys got picked?
They're actually...
Yes. They went to years at graduate level training.
Yes.
You did?
Yes, Polly Perez.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
Did you? Well, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Yes.
He knows that. Everybody knows.
Come on.
I went to school. I'm a criminal science major.
You are?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You don't want to talk about it?
Yeah. No, sure.
Come on. Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about it.
I went to school for criminal science, sociology and psychology.
You did?
All three.
Where'd
you
go to school?
Down south. And,
prestigious. What do you mean down south?
I did. I went to school down south for sociology, psychology, and criminal science. And I was planning a career in forensics and perhaps FBI. That was my
really?
Thing. Yeah. And amazingly enough, full circle, I now play a forensic scientist on television.
Wow.
And yes, it helps me with the big words.
Michael, but you had no interest in this before the gig, right?
He just wanted to be with somebody who studied forensic science.
Right. No, right. I had absolutely... I've studied political science,
yeah.
Which is much different. And Yeah, no, really. no real interest in the forensic world.
Well, Chris, caller Chris, who's now 19, I was going to yell at you for asking such a stupid question, but it turns out
he knows exactly what he's talking about.
He does, Chris.
I was also wondering if you guys know of some good schools where I could take forensic science classes, because I'm interested in becoming...
Well, you just go down south. That's where
apparently they're cropping up everywhere in the last 5 years. The F word, meaning forensics, was unknown to people. I think in real life, it didn't actually mean what you see on television. It means to detect and to discover and to study. But now the word forensics, that F word that's been so celebrated on television, the programs are packed and they're in a city near you. It's everywhere.
You know, I imagine these shows are doing what Top Gun did for naval enlistment in terms of people wanting to be pilots, you know? I mean, nobody knew you could do this as a gig.
Or what summer school did for substitute teachers.
Yeah. True,
perhaps. Right.
Mark Harmon, everybody. His greatest role yet. My greatest role is a mother. True, but Mark, in his greatest role yet, the timely 1986 reference.
He's adorable.
School.
You Googled that. You know you did.
He's hot. He is hot.
He's wonderful.
And, you know, Mark Harmon's one of these guys that looks the same. Like, he clearly not the same Mark Harmon that was in summer school 20 years ago.
No,
but
his hair is now pure silver.
But hot. Silver hot. Hot.
Silver fox.
Yeah.
That's what we call him.
Yeah.
But where'd you go to college?
I actually had a really disastrous teenage time. I went to four different colleges. I went to Boston University, Menlo College in Atherton, California, the American College in Paris for a semester, and then American University in Washington, D.C.
And then
I dropped out.
Something just happened at American University.
I have no idea.
Professor got killed or something. All right, some crazy
here we go.
It wasn't Michael.
We had something called the Khashoggi Center, which was a very strange, large building that there were always like weapon convoys going through the Khashoggi Center. I was never.
Did you dream that, or did that really happen?
No, I dreamt that.
And you went to college?
I went to school.
Down south.
Yeah, down south.
Down south. You know, there's only one college down there.
It's the enigma of Pauly Perret. It's presented to you in this very mysterious package.
Duke? You go to Duke?
You know what? No.
You go to Duke. You say you go to Duke.
Emory?
Josh?
Emory? UNC?
All right, I'm pretending like we're doing a radio show and continuing with phone calls. Josh?
Where's Josh? Hi, Josh.
Hi.
It's Polly.
Okay. So I'm going out with this girl, and she's African American.
Bogus.
I'm not bogus.
Well. Gay and bogus. Gay, gabus.
Hear me out.
That was my frat name.
I'm listening.
And she's black, but also my family is sort of racist. Like, I don't think they're KKK members, but like they make like racial comments and they don't approve of like interracial dating, you know.
No. What is your question?
Yeah, what do you want?
Yeah, what do you want from us?
Okay, sorry. So my question is, and also I'm really close to my family, so my question is, should I go with the girl or should I go with my family, because I'm really close to both of them?
Homobus.
I'm sorry.
Homogus.
It's bogus and homosexual at the same time. Look, Josh, who are you kidding? This is a bogus call.
Why?
It's not a question. Why? A, I can hear it in your voice. B, you sound gay. Three, you don't have a girlfriend. D, you've never been laid once in your life. And R, or wherever we're up to. It's just not fitting. Yeah, nothing.
Fellini's Satyricon, Josh.
No.
Yeah, but it's
go with your family.
You want us to tell you
what year you think we're in?
I understand, but it's not really a question. It's you have a girlfriend.
I want to know which one should I go with, my family or this girl? Because
that's not a question.
That's not a question.
It's not a question we can answer.
Should I go with my family because I am close to my family?
It's not a question we can answer. It's your this. We can't tell you how to live your life.
We don't know your family or your girlfriend.
What would you do if you were me?
I would get a magic 8-ball,
Josh,
and shake it.
What do you mean, go with your family? Do you have to live with them for the rest of your life?
Do you have to leave them in order to date your girlfriend?
Do they have weapons?
How do they know who you're dating?
How old are you?
20.
I'm 20.
What's your sign?
Okay, are you in college now?
Yeah.
Where are you in college?
I'm at Community College in Colorado.
What, University of Denver or something?
No, community.
Right, there's that Denver right downtown.
Let, let me explain something, by the way. It's junior college, because when you call it a community college, it erases the negative stigma that needs to be there the as a motivation to get people out of junior college.
Yes.
Community college sounds like you're doing a great thing not only for the community. It's got the word community and college right in it.
Right, right. Where's your junior college T-shirt that I got you in New York?
Oh, it's too tight.
Oh,
I'll put it on if it gets up to past 90 in here, and we're only at 86. I'll put it on. Josh, when are you moving out of the house?
I've already moved out, but like we have family reunions. I still, my dad is paying for my college.
That's well, first fine. Off, what do you have to pay
for junior college?
It's $4 college. A unit.
For my junior college, I think I'm right now. I'm only taking.
Hold on a second. Let me explain something. Let me explain. Like when your kid goes to Harvard, your parents are paying for college. When you go to junior college, they're paying. They're paying for being bad parents. They're paying for not working with you. They're paying for not going over. They don't mean paying figuratively. They mean it figuratively, not literally. They mean they're actually paying the price.
They're being paying the price. They're being paid.
The human toll. The disgrace and the shame.
How do you feel about racism, Josh? What are your views on racism, Josh?
He's got an African-American girlfriend.
Yeah, he loves
him. Does he? But does he? Let's tell him. What do you think?
He's a virgin, though.
Yeah, I'm a virgin.
Yeah, we can hear that.
I can hear that.
Okay.
So, Josh, I don't even know that she's your girlfriend. I don't know that she knows she's your girlfriend.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
you're not sleeping with her.
You're not sleeping with her.
Oh, okay. This girl I'm dating.
Well, how long have you been dating her?
6 months.
How many times have you gone out with her?
Too many times to count, really.
Right. But if he wasn't going to junior college, he could count past four.
I just saw this movie.
And what have you done with her physically? Have you kissed her?
Yeah, I've made out with her.
But nothing past that?
I've sort of, like, felt her butt and stuff. But
felt my mom's ass earlier today outside her pants. Let me explain black chicks. They're getting down with you if they're into you. Oh, yes.
Well, any chick will be, by the way.
Do you know her name?
But here's the deal, Josh. Are you on medication or is this bogus?
Okay, here's what's going. Okay, now I might shift from
Adam's
bogus.
Adam's revved up. Look, he's revved up now. You can see it. There's a light that gets in his
eye. I might make
the
shift from bogus to sort of socially retarded.
Yes,
and when
seriously.
I mean retarded, I don't mean like, I just mean the opposite of advance and retard, and like held back.
Right, which is why when he asked us a question, we're like, what? We're
Josh
confused.
Is emotionally 13, 12 or 13.
Yes.
And I knew he was a virgin.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not sure if you talk to this girl, if she would say, Josh is my boyfriend, she might say, he's a guy I know from school.
Right. And you know, like a 12-year-old will begin spinning yarns about the rest of their life based on a crush. That's kind of what he's doing.
And also, if he constructs a question based on the racism in his family, then it's all of a sudden, it's like he has a girlfriend.
Right. Right,
but I'm not so sure she exists.
Right, it ups the meaning of the relationship.
And maybe it's that they're not at the point that they are accepting or trusting anything that he does right now. Not just the girlfriend, but probably several things.
I don't know that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if does this. When's the last time this girl called you, Josh?
Earlier today.
Josh.
It was earlier today.
To tell you to stop calling her.
No. Just
no.
Like that.
Why do you think you haven't slept with her yet?
I don't know. I believe mostly in saving yourself for marriage.
Right.
But also just, I don't know if I'm ready, you know, I don't know if she's ready.
Why do you seem
but
so...
But 6 months.
Yeah, Josh, why do you seem, were you homeschooled or something? Why do you seem so sort of behind socially?
I don't know, man. I'll have to think about that one, because...
Did you date normally in high school?
Did you ever have any head trauma? Or anything like that?
Is this your first girlfriend?
Are you hospitalized? Is your first girlfriend?
Yeah, this is
your first girlfriend?
My first girlfriend.
Yeah.
First girlfriend.
At 20, that's kind of still a little late.
You sound like a late bloomer, Josh.
You Mormon?
I'm kind of ugly.
buddy.
Come on.
That's also kind of the reason why I like this girl so much, is because she doesn't care about what you look like, you know?
Oh. Yeah,
and you know, I'm 20 years old. I haven't had a girlfriend before, but I think she might be the one.
Well, no, but Josh, don't spin the yarns.
All right, Josh, here's what you need to do. Don't worry about your racist parents as it pertains to her. I'm just going to answer this like I believe it.
Yeah.
Just continue dating her. Good. Don't have sex. We don't need a bunch of little Joshes running around out there. Not that he's going to name them all Josh, but you know what I'm saying.
Josh is a sweet guy.
Listen, right. He's a sweet guy.
Good luck, buddy.
And good luck. We deal with plenty of a-holes. You're not one of them.
Yes, thank God.
And don't date someone just because you think it's the only person who's not going to think you're ugly. I mean, that's not the reason to date someone.
Well, it's not when you're good looking, but when you're actually ugly,
it's okay to be realistic.
Bad. Yeah, be realistic, everybody.
No.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back after this. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
Is that Nine Inch Nails?
I don't know.
Yes.
Nin.
It's Nin.
That was Does that mean something that it's Nine Inch Nails?
Yeah. It's Julian West, I think.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Paul and Michael both here from NCIS. Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock on CBS.
It's the craziest crime drama comedy.
It's definitely the funniest.
Slapstick. You get to watch Pauly Perrette dance around in a little white outfit.
That's not true.
Solve forensic mysteries.
Well, maybe a little bit.
Joe?
Riddle me this, Joe.
Hey, what's
You're,
up,
You're 25?
There you are.
Yep.
Go what's ahead. Up?
Yeah, I got a major problem.
Ooh, good boy.
Right now, I think it's major. I don't know. I'm married. Things are going great. But a lot of times, man, I love porno, man. I'm like addicted to it. And I'm kind of afraid because, you know, I'm still interested in my wife. We still have sex and things are cool. But, I mean, there are times where I'd just rather have the porn. And I'm getting kind of worried about it because, you know, I don't want to mess with my marriage or nothing.
Are you doing anything weird? Are you sort of getting into more and more peripheral kinds of porn, or is it the same thing over and over?
No, it's just the basic stuff. I'm not into nothing weird.
Are you ever been addicted to sex or any other addictions?
I've had some issues with some drinking. I don't think it was full blown out alcoholism or nothing.
And were you traumatized growing up? Any sexual or physical abuse?
Well, you know what? That's what I was kind of thinking after listening to your show. I was trying to evaluate myself.
Yeah.
But I do have a feeling that something might have happened when I was a child. I don't know, but I can tell you that at the age of about, kindergarten, going into first grade, I had a massive weight gain. I had some emotional problems growing up, a couple of little things like where...
There's a massive weight gain, your uncle on top of you?
If you put
200 pounds on, I did that once.
And what was the other thing?
That was just a goiter.
You were telling me some more that what happened?
It was just drastic. I mean, I could see it from like a picture. It just really triggered a lot of memories not too long ago. I seen a picture from, like, kindergarten to first grade. It was, like, unhealthy. And, and I just really struggled with self-image. I'm in shape now. Things are good. But I still struggle sometimes with the self-image. And
I bet you're one of these guys that's in too good a shape.
He's way left
shaved. Getting on the juice and...
I ain't doing all that stuff, man. I like to eat too much.
All right.
But you don't do steroids.
Have I?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, see, that's what Adam's saying. You're that kind of, you fit that profile.
Yeah, here's the thing, Joe. Well, and your name is Joe, and I'm from Detroit.
You've got to take steroids then.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I think you're one of these guys that's worried that you're going to spin out, but you're not quite spinning out yet. Well,
because he has the potential to spin.
Because you have the potential to spin. And the deal is if you want to watch your porn and still remain intimate with your wife, that's fine. It's when you start making buddies on the internet and start spending money on prostitutes.
Yes, you're heading in that direction. Yeah, that's where you're going.
You go from the hypothetical porn world or the harmless porn world into the actual part where you're harming your relationship.
And that's what addiction and compulsions tend to be. And it is, in fact, history of boundary problems such as sexual abuse and the biology of addiction that sets people up for that. So you have all the ingredients there. The fact that you've been on steroids, you've had a drinking problem, it's all part of that addictive chemistry.
So, Joe.
You got something going on here, buddy.
Maybe I ought to get a little therapy or...
Do you enjoy watching it more than you enjoy the act itself?
No, I enjoy it, but even if I have sex, like maybe 2 hours later, I still want to go watch porn, probably.
How about, Dan, do you share the porn with your wife?
Occasionally, yeah.
So that's all right. Mm-hmm.
What does she think?
I think she knows I enjoy porn, but not to
What does she think about porn?
Oh, she likes it, but I mean, not all the time.
All right, Joe.
See where this is
this
going.
Not it.
This,
yeah.
Yeah, you guys are missing it. He's got his relationship, and they've got sex, but he's got his compulsive behavior that's right. evolving. And right now, it's about porn, but next year, it's going
to
be about prostitutes.
Well, it used to
it's
be about steroids.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? If I want to correct this behavior, then should I just cut that porn out?
Well, it's an interesting question. Yeah, if you can, you know, you're going to have whatever you do, there's going to be a reaction, is the thing. And unless you sort of replace all this with some more emotional health, mm-hmm. it's going to be tough to keep it on a path to sort of a fulfilling experience, fulfilling relationships. And whether you get involved with a 12-step or get a therapist or get somebody to sort of help you along with this, it's not something you're able to do alone. Let's put it that way.
Let me ask you this
not
question.
Not successfully, not the way you want it to be. And you're insightful, Joe. You've got what it takes to get better. You sort of see the problem. Get a mental health professional to help you out with this.
Let me ask you this question about males wanting some kind of secret life
yes.
within the relationship.
Yes. Yes.
And for some, it means going out and seeing prostitutes, and for others, it's just escaping into some comic book collection down in the basement.
Yes, yes.
But I believe
men do that.
That most men want to have some sort of secret life within their relationship.
What it is, it's not a secret life so much as a secret space. They want to climb into a cave by themselves.
Yeah.
They
want to
be left alone a little bit.
I think you can call it a secret life in the sense that there's a couple of things that I do that I don't want you knowing about. I don't want you to have any knowledge of. This is about me.
I
need this in order to stay in this relationship mm-hmm. because men are sort of wired to have that autonomy. And women are wired to be a little bit different.
Why are you wired that way?
Do you think it's socialization? If it's socialization, what?
No, it's not socialization.
You have a nesting.
You have two large.
Poly?
You as a female have two large chromosomes that make you female. They have tremendous amount of genetic information on them. What makes us male is a little piece of DNA called the Y chromosome. It's very simple, has very limited information. It's the same in all three of us. So what makes us male is simple.
Count Rick the engineer.
And Rick, too.
Yeah, what is he,
on the nature-nurture, we are 100% nature, not nurture.
We differ from chimpanzees by 300 base pairs. We differ from you, us men, by an entire chromosome. To not pay homage to that profound biology is naive.
To not pay homage to sociology and nurture is incredible.
No, that's
nonsense.
They
both exist.
Anyone who raises kids knows. Give a little boy, the boy picks up a thing, tries to turn it into a gun.
You can't force the kids into
it. Yeah, that's retarded 60s thinking.
Yeah, it really has been profoundly.
There are differences. There's just huge differences between males and females.
No, not that there's no difference. As a human species, nature and nurture are both a part of everything
that
we are.
Yeah, sure they are.
Both of them are. And to say that either one is responsible for anything is ignorant.
Well, you got to look at it this way. How did it get the way it is?
What set it up?
Talk shows?
What drove it before media existed? How did we get where we are?
Both. Absolutely.
Well, before people's minds could be poisoned through television and imagery and magazines and stuff, and millions of years ago, who decided that men will go out and build a few bridges and hunt a few animals and
probably
drag a few
wife.
Carcasses? But how did that begin, though?
Their wife.
No, well, somebody sat down and decided the men
did
were going to do
the... Did the man sit down and, decide that? And by the way, why do we decide we got to go out and hunt and the chick gets to stay home?
Right, we'd rather
I
would have
gone
that.
The other way around with that.
I don't know, baby. I'm a hunter.
The biology is so profoundly different that now medicine even is having doctors that just dedicate to women and just dedicate to men.
Absolutely.
We're even seeing
that
the cells function differently.
Absolutely, but
so
sociology has evolved with every year as well.
No, the biology is so profound.
You don't think our sociology is evolved? What about the everything about sociology evolves with every bit of information and misinformation?
Here's the thing.
Way to raise kids.
Guys,
everybody says that.
Guys,
like you can't think before you spawn.
Guys have
the experience will change you.
All right, let's try to get back here for a second. Yeah. Guys have that built into them, that sort of. That sort of, I need my space, I need my autonomy.
Plan of the cave bear.
Testosterone causes a need to, for independence.
Now, the good news I can stay in a relationship, I can be monogamous, I can not cheat on my partner.
We're very proud of you.
That's the sociology part, by the way.
That's all I'm saying. It's both.
The sociology is what contains
No, the sociology
that.
Is beat
beat men down into containing being in a relationship. That's the sociology part.
Yes. Just give me my train set in the basement, a little stack of porn down there that no one messes
exactly what I want.
There's nothing more sort of evident than, say, masturbation, where no matter how you shame and frighten a man, he's going to masturbate.
I'm doing it now.
And a female, you raise females, we don't shame them. We encourage them. It's nice. It's normal. They're not interested. A man, no matter how you force them.
If you think females aren't shamed, maybe you didn't grow up down south in the church.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot, and that is, again, is socialization. You cannot.
There are parts
to
do that.
Take one thing away from another. It depends on who you're around, what environment you're brought up in. The south is very different. The church is very different, anywhere it is and anywhere in the world.
Yes, but interestingly, the kids that are traumatized like that become hypersexual. They don't become less sexual, they become more sexual. So when you take a kid and you beat them up like that, they become more sexual. When a male, you try to beat them up like that, you can't force it out of them.
Just had someone call that said she was raped and she doesn't want to have sex anymore, so it also depends on the person.
What you see with those people at the rape is they fluctuate, they develop a bipolar syndrome where they go between hypersexual and hyposexual.
All right.
This is the fact.
Hyper and hypo really...
it's like a maser and a laser.
These are clinical facts. These are not opinions. These are facts.
Oh, true. You got you and your clinical facts. All right, but listen. Yeah. We say hyper and hypo.
Bipolar. I'd say bipolar.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's like micro and macro. They shouldn't mean totally different things.
What, yeah? Because they have
micro
four letters the
flume.
Same?
Yeah.
Micro and flume.
Yeah. Well, flume means something else, but we'll take a quick
break.
What
about damp and wet? Isn't damp wet?
Damp is
wet.
All right, let's keep going. I'm getting damp. It's hot in here. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Michael Weatherly in here tonight. Pauly Perrette in here tonight from NCIS, which is on Tuesday night, CBS, 8 o'clock. Drew?
And tonight, as in every night this week, we're giving away an iPod Nano. And tonight, it's going to Lisa from Citrus Heights. She is 19.
Yay!
Yay, Lisa.
Lisa!
She's going to love this thing.
So, Lisa, you have 11 minutes and 13 seconds to claim this baby. Otherwise, it's going home with me. That's
go,
how
Lisa,
it works.
Go, go, Lisa, go.
It has
go,
a vibrate go. Function, too, Lisa. You're going to find this thing is really fascinating.
He's thanks lying to you.
I think Ann's got it.
Oh, okay.
En route.
All right. All Lisa. Right. So, God bless Lisa. Vanessa?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question that I hope you guys can answer.
All right.
There we go.
Okay, well, I just recently broke up with my boyfriend, and he didn't necessarily want to be with me while we were together.
Mm-hmm.
We were living together and everything, and he was cheating on me, but I still stayed with him. He was an alcoholic, and he would, like, verbally abuse me, and I still stayed
How
with
old
him.
Was he?
Well, you're 18. You have to gut it out when you're with a verbally abusive alcoholic.
How old is he?
You just got to gut it out.
He was 25.
All right, so your dad was an alcoholic.
Where's your dad?
I'm in prison.
He's in prison. Did he abuse you?
When I was younger, yes.
Right. Was he an alcoholic, too?
Yes. No, he wasn't. He was a
drug
addict.
Drug addict.
He did something.
He was a drug addict. This is the pattern, Vanessa. When you have an alcoholic, addicted, abusive male as a father, that's who you look for your partners, particularly when you're as a young adult as you are.
What's he in for? Some sort of white-collar crime? Some junk bond? Trading? Something to do with the RICO Act?
Or sexually abusing Vanessa?
What's he in for?
Assault and battery against an officer.
Oh, nice.
Battery against an officer, but he had to have a nice long list of priors before that, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was in the...
I mean, you get battery 13. Against an officer when an officer's trying to take you in for something else.
Right.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm not sure because I haven't seen him since I was about a year and a half.
All right, but all right. Vanessa,
well,
come
now
on.
You got another criminal to shack up
right.
with.
Right, you don't stop
What's
shacking up.
What's the plan, baby? Come
You've
on.
You've
got
to break this pattern. You've got to.
We're pulling for you, Vanessa.
How about it?
Well,
break up with this guy and go be on your own for a little while.
All right. If you can't do that, how about some Al-Anon or Alateen and go with a group of people who've had alcoholic addict parents like yourself, oftentimes with trauma histories. Get a sponsor. Work the steps. It's free. Get some support. Learn to sort of tolerate relationships with people who actually appreciate where you're at and who love you for who you are and experience you as a whole person rather than continuing this dance with abusive a-holes.
Well, we did break up, but the thing is, like... He's calling me.
All right, well, don't answer the phone.
Yes. All right. You have the power to change the channel.
Block his number.
Don't get pregnant. That's the key.
Oh, that is the key.
By anybody, at any time.
No, it's the key for everyone, yes.
Oh, well, he can't have kids, so...
Why?
No.
I have no idea. I never asked him.
Well, assume he can.
Don't believe that. Don't believe that. Why would that be true if nothing else is true?
How do you know he can't have kids?
You tried.
No. Trying and not succeeding a couple of times, right? Fellas,
yes,
does
mean
not
anything.
Mean anything. That does not, if a guy tells you that, that's...
Means nothing.
No. He's a liar. Why would he tell the truth about
Vanessa,
that?
Vanessa, I want you incarcerated for trying, by the way.
Why?
Yeah, what are you thinking?
Because you and your kind do more damage to this society than anything. You know, we sit around worrying about terrorists all day long. Meanwhile, you're cranking out kids with guys like this, and it's a cancer that's growing from within. Don't worry about the borders. Don't worry about who's coming over here. Terrorists come over, they just get a couple of hundred, couple of thousand people. This is
millions.
Tearing away at the infrastructure of this country, because this kid is going to be a mess, whether it's a guy or a girl.
What does Vanessa do?
For a living?
Yes, Vanessa.
She's 18.
But, I mean, is she in school? Is she...
Well, Vanessa? I'm attending a training school.
Mm. Good. I like that. Yeah, what are you learning to do?
Forensics.
What?
Medical assisting.
Good. Yeah.
All right.
Specific. Good. Keep with that. And if you have a kid, you can't go through with that dream. You understand?
Yeah, but, you know, help people who are in medical pain that you can help and do something good for. Don't help some loser who's lying to you. You know,
but, I mean, not only like do I need help, but I know he needs help more.
You're going to help him. You're in the medical. You're going in the medical profession. You're a helper. Don't help that guy.
Go to Al-Anon, my dear.
Just do that.
Go to Al-Anon. Learn. You're severely codependent. Bad boundary problems. This can handle that.
Here's what we need to do too. We need to go throughout the prison. Like when I'm in charge, I'm just going to go to every prison, call every guy out in the yard. Okay, who's got kids? What do you got? I got a daughter. How old is she? She's 11. Okay, good. We can get to her now. How old's your daughter? She's 19. Psh, okay, she's passed. We can't help her. Get the Norplant, the 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Get the other dart for the 19-year-old.
What do you got?
You got a son. Yeah, how old is he? He's 18. Get the dart gun. He's gay! Okay. That was like the governor calling with a reprieve. We'll spare him. Who do you got? I got three boys. All right, I'm going to put you down, by the way.
Yes.
And then we're going to go after the three sons. That's what it is. Because this is the next wave of junkies, the next wave of criminals, the next wave of unwanted people, the next wave of junior college students. Yes, I know I'm being harsh to these kids now. This is the next wave, everyone. Let's focus on it. Let's not pretend it doesn't exist. Please.
Is she still there?
No, she's gone.
No,
we
gotta go break. She's getting laid right now. Got three guys on top of her. We'll take a quick break.
Be right back
after this. That's it. Thank Paulie Michael for coming in here from NCIS. Tuesday nights, CBS, 8 o'clock. Continued success to the show and to you guys.
We are going to have so much fun telling Mark Harmon what we did tonight.
Mm-hmm. Emily Proctor's coming in here from CSI Miami tomorrow.
She's got issues, too. Good luck.
All CSI week.
We will get to her. Yeah.
I don't know her at all.
He has no idea who she is.
We'll take a little extendo break. And until next time, Santa Crawl for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.